yeah, in this episode, then we'll be discussing the topic of engineering management.
Yeah.
What it involves, why is it important, and how and why to make the switch to engineering management, right?
Yeah, great.
So
sounds good to me.
Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah.
So introduce yourself.
So hi, my name is Evgeny Kot. I am, by the way, this is my third day in a new company. So if I don't know if you know that or not. So previously I worked as a director of development in Rike, big SaaS platform, project management platform. But now I switched to the position as a vice president of the engineering in Rarible.com. It's one of the biggest NFT marketplaces in the world. So NFT, Web3, crypto and other stuff. So previously I haven't had the experience with that, so it's something new for me and definitely something really, really interesting.
Okay, why did you choose this specific way to switch?
I'd say that, first of all, of course, that's some kind of opportunities, management opportunities, because the position is, I would say, higher. But I would say, like, as everything that happens in the world, we see the adoption curve. So when only enthusiasts adopt something, it happened with crypto, it happened with many things, actually. I don't know, Agile and Scrum, if you're back in the good old days, when, I don't know, few teams. I remember about Agile, I started it like 12 years ago, at least something like that. And back in the days, it was like, what's that? It's some hipstish.
So a lot of skeptical views on it.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, but we can see what happened now. Now Agile and Scrum in particular, it's de facto kind of standard in the industry. Everybody uses it. So back to the question, Web3 and other stuff, I believe it's kind of in this early adoption phase, even though we see how crypto, Bitcoin and other buzzwords, they already here. So I think it's a good thing to understand, and to understand what's going on in this area, because actually it's kind of like in the casino, or like when you, for example, new technology arrives, right? I don't know, in the front end and the back end, we see how new technologies arrive, and you don't know what's going on, and you kind of put your bet on it. And if, for example, I see in Dart and Flutter and many areas, how if you jump on this train early, you can get a lot of benefits from that.
Yeah,
and people who just, okay, I will not touch it for 5 years till it's established, in quotes. I see how people kind of like, they miss the train. So that's the long answer to your short question.
Yeah, you just need to jump fastly on all the new things and just see how it works out. And Flutter is really, really nice, where you can create applications really easily. And
yes. That's true. The other thing about me, I'm GDE, Google Developer Expert in Flutter, Dart, and Web. Because in my previous company in Rike, we adopted Dart as before Flutter, before all this hype. We adopted in early 2014, wherever. I think it was 14 or 15. So, yeah, and back in the days, Rike was one of the biggest front-end application written in Dart, purely in Dart.
Amazing.
3 million lines of code or something.
Wow.
So I still keep the connection to Dart, Flutter, and web areas. And last interesting part about me, for I think last, I would say like 10 years or so, I manage people to some degree, small teams, big teams, as you can see now, VP of engineering, and also, and this is kind of my passion. My second passion is psychology, so I got a second education in psychology.
Awesome.
So that's my short story here.
Why did you even choose to work in the IT field in the first place?
Well, it happened quite naturally, because I started doing some stuff with computers when I was just a kid. And back in the days, I remember that there were no, how to say, like repairing shops or some specialists that you can call. So, for example, I remember when I just installed Windows 98, I believe it was, or 95. So, and it was buggy and it was like Windows 95. There were no one who can help you with that. There were some guys at school who were more into that field. Yeah, I remember good old days when it was kind of merged together. So you deal with computers, computer games, like early internet. Back in my childhood, there was Fido. It's some kind of like network over phone network.
Okay.
It's called Fido before internet. So, and it was like kind of merged together. So if you wanted to play some games or deal with some internet or whatever, you had to know this stuff. And after that, it was kind of naturally, okay, you start from just reinstalling Windows over and over again. Then you kind of, okay, maybe can I have some automation, and you start learning some scripting. And then I see how many people, it's a funny story because I see how this all connected, at least in my childhood. Many of us were into the fantasy, like Tolkien and other authors. And somehow, I don't know how it works, many people from that areas, they become programmers or developers. I don't know how Tolkien connected.
It's just because it raises the creativity inside, I think.
Maybe it was just a part of the geeky culture. If you're a geek, you are into fantasy or board games or and computers then. And so, yeah, maybe. Who knows? And after that, I just, when I was in the university age, it was natural. Okay, I should go to some computer science university. So nothing like I was, doing machines for 20 years and then I switched to IT. No, it was just from the beginning.
It was already from the beginning. Nice. That's nice. And what motivated you to switch to engineering management, and what was the biggest challenge you faced in making this transition?
I would say it was the biggest sin or biggest one of the biggest mistakes in many companies. Maybe I'm not saying about huge fund companies or whatever, but many tech companies, they do it. So many tech companies, they don't have enough room for technical engineers to grow. So just imagine this standard thing. You have juniors, middle developers, senior developers, and after that, many companies, many small companies, even bigger companies, they don't have enough room. So you have only one option. After you are most senior person in the room, you have only one option to switch to management. So the company bosses, they give you, okay, you work with company for quite a while, take some team to manage.
Yeah, but not a lot of people want to leave their comfort zone when they're in senior. That's, I think, hard as well to switch to management.
That's 100% true. And the biggest sin is that good developers, they come in to be shitty managers, right?
True.
And you lose. So that's a lose-lose situation. You lose good developer on your team and you kind of get a shitty manager. That's the problem. But as you can see in my case, even though this this destiny, this fate for senior developers. In my case, it was quite successful because it turns out that I'm naturally into the people, more like, because I always say that people are really interesting because if your code, you know Java or whatever, so it works or it doesn't work, or it works, but you don't know why. But in people case, they are always different. There are no two similar people in your team, no similar human beings in your team. All people are different. And that's always, I don't know, I always really having much fun and excitement having new people on the team, understanding them and just helping them. So it's like you know, that's Forrest Gump, like it's life is like a chocolate cake, chocolate box, whatever. So people like that, you're like, oh, okay. So we have some difficulties with the team. How to solve it? So yeah, for me, it was natural and kind of like natural excitement.
Nice. And as we know, you also worked in different technical roles throughout your career. That was including the software development, lead developer, software engineer, many different areas. How did these experiences shape your approach to managing software development teams?
I would say during my career, I met a lot of interesting people, but frankly speaking, like professional managers, when someone was professionally trained to be a manager, it's kind of rare case in IT, at least in my areas, in my circles, because most of engineering managers, we grew from the beginning, from the roots, and it helps. It helps a lot because you can understand how it works, because I believe in. I don't remember who said that. Probably some American manager, professional manager, said that if you are manager, you can manage everything. It's true when, for example, you come into big business, retail, and other stuff. But in tech, in IT field, I would say it's good to understand basics. I'm not saying that you have to code 100%, but still it helps. So I worked as a backend engineer, backend developer. I was working as a front-end developer. I was a lead and other stuff. And it was a lot of funny stories. And it helps me because I understand, okay, and it's other funny story. Okay. I believe that your background forms your perception, and your technical skills, your technical area kind of forms you, because it's bias. I'm totally biased. But I see how, for example, backend developers, they are more reserved. They are more like, okay, Java is there for 25 years. So we are the same. We kind of slowly adapting to the changes. Of course, it's not true for 100%. I would not say, okay, all backend developers are like that. But I see like on the opposite, front end, everything changing, this new languages, new frameworks.
You need to adapt every basically day, all the time.
And I see like many front end engineers, they kind of different from that. They're like, okay, let's switch completely to a new world. At the end of the day, come on. If your front end doesn't work, you can press F5 or command R. If your backend, screwed.
It's a problem.
It's a problem. But again, don't quote me on that. I see how like angry tweets from backend developers are like, we are not like that. I feel like this experience is forming you as like as a person. So it's same for me. This background, these challenges, they kind of formed me as an engineer. I don't know how it can be if you're just stepping from. Just imagine you were VP of sales in Walmart, and you stepped into as a VP of engineering. Kind of, yeah, you're the same senior manager, but still, it's
in
not
different
the same.
Places. It's not the same, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you think can you be a good manager if you don't code, if you know only the technical aspects?
That's a really controversial question, actually, frankly speaking, because I saw whole plethora of the opinions on that, because many people would say, no, you have to code, you have to keep your old rusty fingers on the keyboard if you want to be successful. I remember in one team, in one company, I was interviewed to some director position, and they gave me a coding challenge.
Wow.
So, and well, yeah, I solved it. I can sort an array, you know.
Yeah.
It's a big challenge. But I asked them why, to the director position, why do I need to solve coding challenge, whatever, revert an array or sort an array, whatever. So, and they told me that you have to be on the same page with engineers. You have to speak same language. Like how my ability to sort an array kind of put me at the same page with the developers. It's a questionable and trickier thing. So I would say there is no one answer to that, because it's a question about engineering management style. You can be a team player in the sense of you sit right next to developers, you code it the same way, you send your pull requests, you are basically the same person, but also you have addition on top of that as for, I don't know, people management.
Okay.
It can be good for some teams. For other teams, it can be not good, because if you spend 50% of your time coding, other 50% is to something else. But what if team requires you to have 80% in people management, right? So it's always a question. So if you spend your time on coding, like maybe it would be better to spend it on strategic thinking. Maybe you do not what required, but maybe you do something that you like and you used to, you are in your comfortable zone. So that's a tricky question. There is no one answer on that, but I see the common pattern when you're switching from one world to another. It's really frightening and really scary to leave your shell and be completely naked. I remember my days when I switched to, it was my first position as an engineering manager, and I was like, okay, I have no skills in management.
It's like you start from a fresh new position. You didn't have anything.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it. I'm afraid that I will do something wrong. And first case when you have to let someone go, it was like just frustrating and scary. And I was like, can I return back to my like coding my ID and other stuff? It's kind of, as a senior manager, I should say it's not a growth mindset. Yeah.
But it's not easy to leave comfort zone. It's not.
It's
really hard. It's really hard.
100%, yeah.
Can you maybe share a successful project or initiative that you led as an engineering manager? And what did you learn from it?
I would say one of the big things for me was back in Reich, when I was just in the beginning, we had this pretty common structure, at least back in the day, it was pretty common. When you have product managers running across the office, trying to find new victim, they trying to find, okay, I need two backend developers, I need three backend developers or whatever to solve their part. So they were kind of like horizontal teams and not vertical teams. Right now, I would say it more or less standard in the industry when you have, okay, we have a full stack team, which is responsible for some area of the product. Back in the days, it wasn't that popular, I would say. So, yeah, I started growing new team and hiring people, motivating people, introducing Agile, Scrum. And I would say right now, of course, it's not only my kind of success, it's success of the team, but I would say right now this is kind of well established. So, but it was hard to switch from the, okay, we have horizontal teams, backend developers with like a stone face, a grumpy face. Okay, we will only code in Java. We don't care about your stuff. And front-end developers, complete opposite, but say is they still were like a cats and dogs. So one of the biggest success for me was switch from cats and dogs to, do you know this movie like Cat Dog or how it's called? Mm-hmm. Like from the Nickelodeon when the main character is half dog, half cat?
Maybe.
So I call this cartoon full stack developer. Yeah, so you guys can Google this. It's called in English, I believe, Cat Dog or whatever.
It was Cat Dog, I think, yes.
Yeah, Cat Dog. So yeah, so I think it was interesting challenge. Yeah.
And was there any specific maybe task that you remember and you consider that you failed at? And what did, what experience like it was and what did you learn from it?
I would say main, well, not main, but some of the good first week fails for me was to kind of trying to solve. I was really bad at delegating.
So it was not just first week, it was a few weeks.
I would say, yeah, maybe first year or so. Oh. I of course, when you if you are individual contributor, you are not really great at delegating because it's not part of your job. You better to solve everything yourself. You better, you have all the control in your hands. You have everything to solve it. But when I switched to engineering management position, first, I think quite a while, it was hard for me to get rid of tasks and delegate them to someone. I was always over-controlling. I was trying to, okay, I should keep my hands on this task and that task. And I realized that at the end of the day that I'm trying to touch everything and hold each and every person in the room. And that was a big mistake because, first of all, I was burnt out in the beginning because I was like, okay, I'm failing. I have 120,000 tasks in my backlog. I have meetings all day and I still fail because I cannot hold it. And at the same time, when you're not delegating enough, your team is not growing because they always, I remember example when I was absent, I don't know, I was sick or something was there. I don't know, maybe I was on vacation and something happened and team was like, okay, that's not our problem. That's Eugene's problem and he will return back in a few weeks and that's it. And it was completely my mistake because
You should assign someone else when you're absent to solve the problems, right?
Yeah, and it's better to have culture when you are kind of, when you are bottlenecking, you are like saying, okay, no, I will solve this, I will. And you have I as a capital I, that's not the thing people not so
you
growing,
need to completely not change your mindset to trust other individuals and give them the tasks, right?
Yeah, I true. Totally agree, because trust is a good thing, not only for engineering managers, right?
True.
So it's
in life, you need trust in life as well.
Yeah, but you can kind of replace I would put it in big quotes, replace trust with processes. And I see how in some teams, I would say, but I would not call them teams. It's more or less, you know, freelance factory, outstaffing, outsourcing. Sometimes you don't need a team. You just, okay, you assign tickets to people and that's it. But it doesn't work well, I would say.
Processes are needed to get the product, 90% of the cases perfect, or like the flow.
I would say the good thing, it is always a big, again, other challenge for engineering managers is to have right balance between bureaucracy, because you need bureaucracy, because otherwise it's totally chaotic and common sense driven management. But on the other hand, if you feel that this bureaucratic hands kind of choking you, and that's not a good thing because you are, bam, you're now in a corporation where you have to sign 5,000 papers to hire a new one to the team. And that's not good. So balance, balance should be your second name as a manager.
What would you say are the core principles of engineering management?
It's a big, frankly speaking, dear viewers or listeners, I don't have all the answers, you know. probably I should have prepared and, you know, have all this social acceptable answers. But I'm just...
If there's no answer, then there's no answer.
That's yeah. Just... I would say big things that you should definitely work on is empathy. Because I saw many good bureaucrats, speaking of bureaucracy, good bureaucrats were pretty successful in bureaucracy as, for example, project managers. project manager is a person, depends on the company, but still, like, common thing is that, okay, you're moving resources, you're having big, sausages in your project management tool, Gantt charts and other stuff. That's good. But as an engineering manager, you work with people and you heavily rely on people because you cannot solve all the problems yourself. So empathy, understanding what's going on, because if you don't have it, there is a thing that you can treat people as a resources, and maybe in a short term burst you can do this, but on a long term perspective it doesn't work. So empathy. Then I would say it's the ability. You should be fair, and you should have principles, and you shouldn't have, because we're all human beings, right?
Right.
Some people in the team, I like them more because of my human part, right?
Human nature.
But yeah, but still I should be fair, and not only about people, but about business too, because many people, many engineering managers, they do this mistake. For example, they switch in completely to people and they defend people and they always like thinking about people side. And now probably I speak like a soulless corporate shark. But still, sometimes I had this bright example because I kind of help some managers and coach them, and I have some library of cases, not only my cases, but cases of people who I work with. So I had the example when one engineering manager, he was totally into the team, 100% to the team. And he was so kind of afraid to be hard with the team. At the end of the day, it turns out that people are kind of slacking a lot. People were super relaxed. People were doing nothing, more or less. And he was super defensive and covering the asses. But at the end, turns out that this team was dragging the whole business down because people, at least leadership, they thought that everything is okay and we're going according to the plan. But turns out team is not performant to the degree when they were just wasting company money. So that's other thing. And again, this is all about balance. You should, on one hand, you shouldn't. There is old fairy tale about the, I don't remember, Baba Yaga or something like this.
There was
this creature had house which stands on the chicken leg,
yep.
And can turn entrance to other sites. And you are, as an engineering manager, you are the same house. So you can show your backside to team and turn to business and be the soulless corporate whatever and squeeze all your team to the bones. But on the other hand, if you like turn your back completely to business and will be super nice to team and will not challenge them, not coach them, you can end up doing nothing and having zero productivity and forgetting that we all like getting money. We get paid for that, for this job. It's a job. So, and the last, because I should limit my core principles to some, right?
Okay.
It's hard to pick one, right?
It's really hard. You always need a few to select from.
Yeah. Let's say I'm a big fan of self-improvement, and I'm not a really big fan of, let's say there is a movement of Instagram coaches, you know, they always
there's a lot of people now there.
Sometimes if you read a business literature, is like, do nice thing and don't do not nice things, or it's like completely useless. And I don't want to sound like that. So
but, self-improvement, do you, for which side, physical or mental or it's a lot of ways to go, right?
I see how there are like several face shifting or mind shifting stages in our career. And shifting to engineering manager is something like this, because at the beginning you are really focused. You like your eye was afraid to fail and do something wrong and other stuff. And I was studying a lot. I was reading a lot of literature. I was like consulting with other managers and other stuff. And I was starting to stale. I was starting to, okay, I can manage some people, whatever. And I felt like I wasn't improving a lot. The problem, what's different between engineering management and engineering, or like when you're a developer, is that even if you don't want to learn new stuff, if you are, let's say, front-end developer, you have to. Because otherwise market and industry will move forward, and that's it. I don't know. You was writing code in CoffeeScript or whatever, some cryptic language in COBOL. That's it. Bam. Nobody needs it, right?
True.
So whole industry pushing you forward. But when you switch into engineering management, there is, I would say, no like this industry standards that can move you forward. So just imagine, okay, we have Agile, wherever. It was invented 20 years ago or 15 years ago, I don't remember. And that's it. So there is a temptation to sit there doing your small engineering tasks, and that's it, engineering management task, and that's it. And I would say self-improvement is a nice.
What do you think about managing upwards? We know that the part of being a manager is managing the relationship between yourself and those who report to you, right? So, but it isn't also important to manage the relationship between you and your own manager? And what are your thoughts and practices when it comes to this?
I would say it's a nice question, because of course many books and many literature is focused more on how to manage your team and your subordinates. But of course, like, have a relationship with your boss is super important. And there is, again, this temptation to switch to several modes, I would say, to turn your back to your team and completely turn your face to your boss and be just a proxy between boss and your team. And I would say, okay, my manager is there. And my job, my goal is not only fulfill needs of the organization or fulfill some kind of his or her requests, but also to learn from them, because I believe if they are okay on the level above me, they have either better skills or maybe better background experience or something like this. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Okay, they are there just because.
That could be coincidences, right?
Yeah, maybe they like it. But if they are there, they can share vision that you don't have, because it's like, just imagine you walk in the forest picking up mushrooms or whatever, something, and just walk in there. And you have your vision. You see a lot of trees, a lot of bushes and other stuff. But you're more focused on this underground activity. Not underground, but ground activity.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But if you have drone, like, or helicopter or something that can fly above the forest, you can understand that it's completely different.
Different perspective.
Yeah, completely different. Bright example, if you remember Tolkien, I don't know if you remember Hobbit.
Yeah, or, I remember this.
They had they have one case when they were lost in the forest, in the Black Forest, I believe it's called. And I remember because it was my favorite book in childhood.
Oh.
So I remember when they were completely lost, Hobbit and all the dwarves, and they were completely lost, and they tried to get up to the highest tree and to understand what's going on. And they climbed to the highest tree. But because this tree was in the some kind of like, how do you call it in English? Like,
mount. I don't know.
What's the opposite of the mountain?
Well, right? Opposite of the mountain is.
Okay.
Never mind.
Never mind. So they were in the lower ground, I would say. They were like
underground,
oh,
okay, or something like that. Valley, I don't know.
You can post in the comments how it's called.
Yeah.
Sorry for baiting the audience.
Sorry that we didn't know the right word for it.
So, and they were climbed this tree, but because they were in the lower ground, they saw only on the forest and forest and forest. And their motivation were like decreased. They like started complaining, whining, oh, it's like this shitty forest. But if they had like higher perspective, if they had drones or a helicopter or balloon or whatever. So same happens with us for sometimes. As a team manager, for example, I know how my team operates and how it works, but sometimes I lack of different perspective. But my boss has it by definition, because my boss has different teams under them. So that's the long
He has
answer.
A bigger view of the picture. So he can give you more advices than you actually seen.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So I would say first, like if sharing my advice how to work with your boss, I would say three main steps. Understand expectations. So what is expected from your position, from your role. Secondly, establish a good human relationship, because you can work as a, okay, you're my boss, I'm your subordinate, and that's it. But it doesn't work in long-term perspective. And I'm not saying that you have to be like complete buddies and drink beer with your boss all the time. It can be, why not? But you just have to have a human relationship. And third, I would say crucial thing is to represent your team and be kind of part of your team. Because big mistakes to say, okay, so this dump team, they did something wrong. I'm not responsible for that. Dear boss, please, I don't know, fire all the people from this team and give me a better team. That's kind of makes no sense.
You need to operate with what you have and make them better.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
So if something bad happened, that potentially that you didn't acknowledge each of the person's skills and use it wisely. How do you measure the success of the team as an engineering manager, and is there even any metrics that you use?
There are like some metrics, and metrics is a big topic in engineering management community, because again, balance with the capital B. On one hand, you don't want to be a factory of writing code and measure success. I don't know, how many lines of code did you write yesterday? Or how many bugs do we have in production? Or, I don't know, something like completely soulless, I would say. No, it's about resources. But on the other hand, if you don't have any metrics, how we understand that your team is successful? Yeah, again. So I would say metrics are good to raise the flag. Like, okay, we have problems with quality. We have too many bugs on the production. Or we have problem with velocity. Our TTM, time to market, is super high. I don't know. Our business needs something, and we spend half a year to deliver it. It's too long. But each time you're setting your goals to metrics, this will fail. I remember good old days. I worked in one company, and we had one metric of covering codes with tests.
Okay.
And of course, you can imagine after 1 month, we have 100% of the test coverage. And these tests were completely bullshit, complete useless. They were just covering. We had nice numbers in CI/CD, but that's it. And when we failed on the production, all tests were green, and coverage was 100%. But production was down, because we were just spending our time tweaking tests, and not thinking about
It was basically made just for this high level overview, but it wasn't the quality. How do you communicate technical decisions to stakeholders who may not have a technical background?
I'm trying to. It's a good question, because you should always be able to explain what's going on, even though it's super complicated AI, whatever.
Yep.
And if you're not able to communicate even the hardest problems, if you're unable to communicate them on top, it means that you are not really good engineering manager, because your job is basically to be a bridge between top level management or business these developers, and they speak different languages, and you are like one of your heads is translator. And if you could not do this, so it means that you should kind of like, I don't know, probably develop the skills more, I would say.
About the bridge, that was really nice saying, actually. Your job is to be Thank a bridge. You. That's really nice. And how do you maybe, let's say, in your opinion, what are some important things that software development teams should focus in order to do effectively work together and deliver high quality software?
I would say that we can see a bright example is hackathon projects or small teams who are can. I remember one funny story. One of my colleagues, he worked in a big corporation. I would say let's say like this, and he was working with a team of many engineers. It was big corporation with a lot of processes. They were doing one feature, and they spent, I would say, like 7 or 8 months trying to do it. But then their competitors launched a hackathon project.
Okay.
So you can win $10,000, whatever. And some team of the students, I don't know, first year students, 3 or 4 of them in 1 week, they delivered the same feature, which this huge corporation tried to deliver for 7-8 months for,
Amazing.
30. Yeah. So I would say, and if you're trying to kind of analyze what is the difference, why these people are so successful. So I would say main things in software engineering teams, first of all, is to focus on goals and to focus on customers, because sometimes we have our toys, right? We have True. Precious new frameworks, libraries, and other stuff. And it's important. You should keep your toys clean and shiny, and it's because they are your tools. But you shouldn't over-focus on them, because you're delivering product for customers. And sometimes we're forgetting this. Second is to understand that team is there to help you. Because one of my favorite books about software engineering management is Herding the Cats. You're probably, So I love this this analogy. It's like cats, they're moving in some various ways. And as a manager, you should kind of hold them together, and they should move at least to some direction. And same happens with the teammates. So there are many people who prefer to work alone, and they don't see how team can benefit them. But actually it is, because again, same with this hackers or hackathon projects. People, and what I like about them is that people choose other people based on something. It's not like, okay, we have to have 4 people, so I'm genius and you guys will just sit there, do nothing. It doesn't work. So I would say, focus on team spirit, and why do you need a team, actually? Let's say to pick one is to, same thing, to develop yourself. Because for engineers, if you are kind of sit on your back and do nothing to develop yourself, it can work. But at some point, you will realize that there are plenty of buzzwords or frameworks or things that you don't understand. And there are plenty of young people who know it better than you and who will replace you eventually.
But what about passion?
It is hard for me to I'm in the industry for like 17 years, I would say, let's say. Of course, I have passion, but it's same with if you have long relationship, right? It's hard to tell when, for example, if you with your partner, you are together for 15 years, probably you don't have same relationship that you had when you were 18. True. Right? So it was kind of replacing to professionalism. So I'm not saying that you don't have to have passion, and passion is really good and it moves you forward. But during the years, it transforms to professionalism, and still you should have motivation and some values, but it is not that required, let's say like that.
Okay, that's really, really nice answer. Can you share maybe any examples of a time when you had to make a really difficult decision as an engineering manager, and how did you handle the situation?
Usually most difficult decisions are connected to shrinking down the team or working with some non-performant members, letting someone go. That's the one of the hardest decisions usually that we as an engineering managers have. And I would say, yeah, I had few examples when I was kind of, how to say, I was not professional enough to understand that we should, me and like my teammate, we both should go in different directions. I'm saying that politely, because I don't like word fire, but still, so let someone go. And that's one of the signs of professionalism, right? True. Because you should always give people a second chance and to educate them. And if you, every time you let someone go, it is kind of, I'm not saying it's your fault, but still you are part of the problem as a manager, because maybe you did something wrong. But on the other hand, balance in the situation is that you should, you shouldn't prolong something that shouldn't be prolonged. I would say like that. So, example, I worked with one teammate, and he had some performance issues, and I've tried many ways to do this. I tried for 1 year we were working together on the performance plans and then other stuff, but it was like it was big problem, because every time you have a low performer in your team, it kind of slows down whole team. If you have,
how do you think can human learn everything? Can for example this underperformer develop into overachiever over time?
There are when someone is a low performer, there are several reasons to that. It's either person doesn't have enough experience, and your goal is to educate them, to teach them.
Yeah.
Second option, it can be worked together, is the for example, it's kind of bad environment. Many times I see how people joining the team, everybody works on their tasks, they're not working as a team, they don't helping each other, and this person is kind of lost and forgotten, and it doesn't work, and many juniors kind of suffer from that. They like, okay, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid to ask, because the culture in the company is not like that. So yeah, and in 1 month, my manager comes to me saying like, you have bad results. It's a crappy situation. So you as a manager should work on this culture, helping environment. And last, it's sometimes it's just a lack of dedication, lack of motivation, and you should work with that, but to some degree, if you gave all the chances, you work with person, you kind of like help them, sometimes it's just you just could not help, and that's for me, for example, that was the case that I tried and I spent time of this person, and I spent time of myself. I kind of my team was, I would say, not at in the healthy condition. But after that, when we kind of solved this, we were it was a big relief for me, for the person, for team. And actually, this person found a new position and was quite successful in this. It was just, it wasn't too much, and that's it.
Can you maybe share any tips or advice for anyone who's just starting out as an engineering manager?
Everybody is afraid. I mean, no one knows how to do it, how to do this job. If you ask senior managers 20 years and big corporations, they of course give you all the answers, but that's because they have experience.
Yeah.
And you could not... one interesting story that there is one book called 100 Plus Management Models. Pretty interesting book, like it's like a cookbook for. In this book, there is one story about, we can cut it off. I forgot the name of the guy. So in the book 100 Plus Management Models, yeah, there is a story about Henry Mintzberg, and he is academic, Canadian academic, and he wrote a lot of interesting books about management and other stuff. And back in the days, it was a funny, kind of not misconception, but it was a common thing in the industry in 80s or 70s that management is just a skill. You can, same as, for example, like doing some mechanical work. You just need skills for that, and that's it. So you kind of you can read a couple of books, and you can be a good manager. Okay. But he said, part of the management success is, of course, you should have knowledge and some skills how to do it. But other part is passion, experience, and kind of personal skills. You can work on everything here. You can work on your passion, your motivation. You can work on your personal skills, or you can be born with them, for example.
True.
But still, it's not only about, okay, you listen to one podcast and bam, you're a good manager.
It doesn't work that way.
Main advice about when you're just stepping in, don't be afraid to make mistakes, because that's the thing that you should do. As a person who just started, it should be expected for you to make mistakes. And if you're not making any mistakes, it means you either dead or you are not developing, and you're just following some guidelines and that's it. So I would say that's the main thing that helped me. I was doing a lot of mistakes. Probably in the beginning, I was the crappiest manager of all time, which I'm not saying that I'm not right now, but still.
We always have a room to grow, right?
Yes.
You
yes,
need always true. To leave that.
Yeah.
So someone always going to be better. You need to acknowledge that as well.
Yeah.
So, and that, you just need to learn new things, yeah, and don't be afraid of.
Adding like on top of that, with like psychological background and other stuff, yeah, there is anxiety, and some people, they are motivated by anxiety, and they like, okay, if I am in this uncommon area for me, I am super motivated, and I feel like usually, for example, all sport is about that. So sport is about getting out of your comfort zone and stuff. So professional sports people, they thought to be like this. They thought to be comfortable in uncomfortable. But many people who is not professional athlete, they are, when they go into stepping in this high anxiety zone, they feel small. They feel like, okay, I will fail miserably. And for many people, it's a big problem, and for engineering managers. So I would say that's the job of your organization and your boss and you to understand that, okay, of course, you can fail. You can fail miserably. You can like do everything wrong, but that's the part of the curve, I would say. If you don't have like support in that, I think we'll do good.
So for some of the people, you can basically use anxiety as a fuel to grow, right?
Yeah, but I would say know yourself, because that's why I don't like many Instagram coaches and other stuff. They assume that this pressure, this anxiety, you know, like...
But it can become overwhelming over time, isn't it?
Yeah, 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 it can be.
And
it
then can you be. Can get burned out, probably.
Yeah, that's true, that's true. So many of this advice coaches and other stuff, they push you to the border. But for many people, it just doesn't work. You can harm yourself in the process.
You need to be careful with your health.
Yeah, that's true.
When did you really start learning about psychology?
Psychology?
Psychology, yeah. I don't know why I couldn't pronounce that, psychology. Yeah.
It happens. I mean, it started, I would say, like 5 years ago. One friend of mine, she is awesome. And she is professional psychologist, therapist, and clinical psychologist, like for real, super, okay. Super interesting stuff. And I was from time to time asking her like about some stuff about team, about how to work with people more efficiently and other stuff. And she said, okay, I'm going to some like second education or like widening my area. Would you like to go? I was like, why
let's
not?
Jump in.
Yeah, and it was funny because it was completely different from the what I used to do. It was about, you know, talking with people about your feelings.
It's hard. It's really hard.
Can you remember last time when you spoke with someone in tech field about your feelings?
No.
Yeah. And this, like, and for example, completely different thing is that this total, how to say, the atmosphere of total acceptance. So I can express all of my feelings, even like not the best one, but I am accepted. And this kind of why I'm trying to convince everyone to at least try therapy and other stuff,
okay.
Because that's the only place for many people where you can express yourself 100%.
And it helps.
I mean, at least you will be heard and you can express and be yourself to 100%. Because with your colleagues, you still, you cannot talk about everything. With your boss, of course. With your family members, again, yeah, if you have issues with them.
Different still. Perspectives, different things you can talk about. Yeah.
There is one psychological thing is like stranger in the bar. So why so many people, they in the bar, they drink in a bar and they talking to strangers and they be like, they can share so deep and so like, you know, forbidden or some strange insights and strange thoughts that you can, wow, you share this. That's because this, it's stranger. You drink together, then bam,
you see him once and then you don't see him again, maybe.
Yeah. Yes. That's,
but it depends on the connection as well. For some people, you just can't connect and speak about everything.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
That's true. If we go back to the software development and engineering, yeah. What do you see the future of the software development and engineering management?
I would probably, you know, answer AI and crypto and Web3 and other stuff.
Well, that will be the future. We know that.
Yeah,
it should be. It will get the mass adoption anyways, right?
I see how over the years software industry become more granular. So back in the days, we had webmasters. So it's one person who can change a web page, do like whole cycle of the production. Right now, it's hard to do it. Okay. On one hand, because we have precise, I don't know, React engineers, which is always funny for me, or like I don't know, name of the framework engineers. Yeah, we have this granularity, but on the other hand, I see how many things are easier. So for example, right now you don't pay Oh, you can, but still, you don't pay to create your homepage. You can go to many
no-code
solutions. Yeah, no-code solutions, and that's it. Bam, you have your web page. So I think it would be, I think we will continue to go deeper into the specialization. So now we have AI developers or some database engineers. But some of the areas, probably more customer facing ones, again, front end, web, they will be kind of replaced or reformed. We still will have deep engineers in this area, but easy tasks, they will be replaced by AI or some machines or whatever. So again, as you can see, now you can create a web shop without anyone there. So, and about management, I think management will stay because people are people and you still need to manage them. Maybe in future, we will see some new approaches like over the agile, for example. I don't know. But I would say management is more or less the same thing. You can read book from 70s or even 80s or 60s, and it's not kind of culturally the same, and we have different morale and ethical stuff, but still it's like it's not the same as reading 50 years old programming book, right?
True. It's a lot of things have changed for that. Yeah, as we know, IT is changing rapidly.
Yeah,
and that's awesome.
We'll see. That's why, for example, management is always kind of running after technologies. So we sometimes we see how management is struggling. I saw a lot of companies who are struggling switching from waterfall and releases on CD disks. Well, CD is already a disk. Okay, compact drives. And how they kind of like, okay, how to transform to CI/CD, continuous delivery, continuous improvement, and other stuff. Maybe in future we will see the same transformation and we will have, I don't know, releases. Because I think, for example, we will have more frequent releases. For example, you don't even have trunk or whatever. You just push to production. I see how many... I see many companies, they do this. We'll see. I don't know. I'm not a visionary.
As you mentioned, a lot of books, right? I have this one question. What is your favorite go-to quote in life?
Nosce te ipsum or temet nosce. Probably, I don't know. I don't know Latin. So
yeah.
It's the thing is that to know yourself. It was one of the things that was in the Oracle. The Delphi, and I'm lacking a bit of vocabulary in English. So the prophet in ancient Greece, they have the prophet.
Yeah.
Delphian oracle, probably, I don't know. So this thing, to know yourself, it's for me, it is the main motto of my life for last 5 years. Because we have so many, our psyche is so deeply into the complex, into the like parents, into your cultural background, ethnical background, ethical background, and other stuff. So, and many times I saw in myself how I don't know. Other funny story is that many people, developers, we're not talking about our feelings, we're talking about like situations and how our brain processes it. I had one client who was who had some issues with anger and whatever, and he said he could come to me and said, you know what, I had a like big problem at the stand-up because I was shouting at the guy. It was like not really good, and I apologized, but still I had this anger inside me. And I asked, what did you feel there? He was like, this guy wasn't right about pull request. I was like, but what do you feel? He was like, that he's not right. And you know, it's kind of like, it's not the answer.
It's not
about feelings. Yep. It's about what do you think and not about what do you feel. So this thing, to know yourself, is the, for me, it's the biggest quote. And after that, when you know yourself to some degree, you can learn a lot from the books, from other stuff, because you know yourself, and then you can.
So you need to acknowledge your weaknesses and try to improve them to succeed.
Yes, 100%.
True. Okay, I think it was really, really, really nice episode.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so thanks to everyone who will join to this conversation with Evgeny about the engineering management. It was a really, really fascinating discussion and very insightful, and how and why to switch to engineering management, also about the psychological aspects. So if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow us on YouTube or Spotify for more expert interviews in the software engineering field. If you have any thoughts or suggestions for future episodes, feel free to contact us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn under the name Tesdale Lab. And yeah, let's keep advancing your skills and knowledge set. So, and see you at the next one.